you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, September 13th, 2019. Joining me via the phone lines, thank you God for the technology, is Pastor Jason Schiffo, typically my Friday co-host, and appreciate the fact that you can take this call, Jason, and share on this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends.
Yeah, here we are.
Well, let me, before we get into some good biblical topics and conversations on Scripture, and maybe a reference or two to the great banquet that we both got to attend on Tuesday night, the Living Alternatives Crisis Pregnancy Banquet with good old Greta, five quick announcements. Let's see. Oh, well, I don't know if this is an announcement. I'm going to be playing Mr. Mom for the next 2 weeks, so be praying for me, everyone. As of about 3 a.m. this morning, or tonight, you know, after midnight, when I get Holly over towards the airport, it'll be Esther and I for the next 2 weeks. So we'll see if I can live to tell more stories after that. You know how it is. When Tasha went to Romania and parts of the world on the missions trip, you held down the fort. What is that, about 10 days?
That's always 10 days. It's not too bad, you know. I mean, it just depends on how you look at it. I just think that we moved from a democracy to a tyranny for 10 days.
Yes.
You know, there's just one king. He's in charge.
Oh, that's funny. Actually, last night at the Great News Radio Children's Choir, Dee Chesler, who's the director now, she was a co-director with two other directors, and now she's kind of soloing it. But at one point, the children were talking. She goes, "Now, wait a minute. This is not a democracy. I'm in charge here. This is a monarchy or a tyranny? Oh, I don't know." She was just saying, "I'm in charge. And when you get to be in charge, then you can hold the evening however you want. But everyone, all children, quiet right now because I'm teaching." So it was classic. But, yeah, the children, they're working on some songs. We've launched into a new season. So if you have a child from the ages of basically 6 or 7 to about 13, we meet every Thursday night here at the Great News Radio Center from 5:10 to 6:30. So almost an hour and a half. And then some of the children come early at 4:45, and we have pizza and apple slices and kind of a light dinner for them. And so, yeah, it was fun to have the children launched, and hopefully come Christmas time they'll be singing with the singing men as that gets all worked out in the days ahead. So, yeah, so be praying for me, pray for the children's choir, pray for the singing men of GNN, because we're going to have our Tilton, Illinois debut in about 9 days on Sunday, September 22nd at the Southside Church of the Nazarene. That's 1629 King Street in Tilton, Illinois. So the singing men, that'll be our first fall concert. Other than the men put on a concert at the women's prison a couple weeks ago, but this will be our first full concert out and about. And that'll be at the Southside Church of the Nazarene in Tilton, Illinois. And that's Sunday night, September 22nd. You might have noticed some of the Facebook posts that many of the singing men have put on. I think that's a 6 p.m. concert. I don't have it in front of me, but that'll be happening in 9 days on Sunday, September 22nd. And then finally, we've had a number of people saying, "What happened to K. Arthur Precept Ministries? I've listened to it for like 23 years on your broadcast. Suddenly it's gone." And so let me read to you a little announcement that we wrote out for anyone that inquires or what's going on, what's happening with Kay. Well, many of you may not know Kay is 85 years old. I mean, Kay has been doing Precept Ministries for many years, and it came to a point, you know, at 85 with the various things that she's doing and trying to do and staying healthy. And so here's the announcement that if you inquire or wonder, or people have asked, could you email me more information? We've written out, Precept Ministries International is entering its 50th year of ministry and contacted us recently to convey their decision to discontinue radio broadcasting. They instead will be moving to a free digital online streaming platform at preceptsforlife.com, which will allow you to listen to K. Arthur's teaching anytime, anywhere. okay even at 85 years of age has been a testimony of faithfulness in proclaiming the Word of God, and we will miss airing her program as much as you will miss listening. We have replaced Precepts for Life with Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and hope you will continue to grow in Bible knowledge as you listen to this time-honored favorite of many. So basically on WGNJ at 6:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday, you'll now hear J. Vernon McGee, and at 11 a.m. on WGNN, Monday through Friday. So Precepts Ministry no longer available via the old-fashioned way of listening to it through our radio broadcasts, but we'll have J. Vernon McGee, which was a favorite of many people for many years, and he will literally go through the whole entire Bible in about a five-year period. So we launched that this past week, and I think people really grow to appreciate that for Bible training, Bible literacy, the ways he honors and divides God's Word, and I think it'll be a really helpful resource for those of you that tune in a regular basis. So that's it. And then finally, the theater troupe. Some of you have asked, now what's up with the Great News Radio Theater Troupe? Is Kate Freeman going to be launching something? We're working on a couple projects, and probably we'll do another big event in 2020. And so we've been working on contractual agreements and working with some of the producers of some very famous material. And I don't want to give it out quite yet, but we've been trying to pray it up. And it's never cheap when you want to do something that's well-known and scripted out and involves playwrights, and everyone wants their little piece of the pie. So we're raising some funds to put together a great launching probably in the spring of 2020, but it'll be a good production. I think it'll bless a lot of people, much like we did with It's a Wonderful Life, where we had 49 different cast members and turned it into a real great production, and we play around Christmas time. We'll do this also with a special production in the coming days. So if you have any desires to be a part of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, we'll probably put on some skits and some other events in the coming days, but we'll have a bigger production probably starting in the spring of 2020. So you can find out more by calling the station, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. So that's all my announcements. Now that we're almost halfway through this program, Jason, what's the Lord teaching you lately?
Well, the other day, something that's been ruminating around in my head, I have been walking every day, and I go out and I go for a walk in the morning just to kind of get the morning started. As I'm walking, I'm doing a lot of thinking. You know, it's kind of interesting. I can't read right now because my eye is, it's just hard to do that. It's kind of stressful. And so I've just been doing a whole lot more thinking and listening. And, you know, listening and looking around in culture and seeing how culture is acting and how we're reacting to culture. And it's really interesting to me because, you know, for a long time, or at least when you hear it, people like to talk about how we're a Christian nation. Mm-hmm. America is a Christian nation. We're a Christian nation. And the more and more I look around us, the more and more I survey what's happening around us. I mean, whether we take abortion, whether we take euthanasia, whether we take, you know, the injustices, the evils, the racism, all the things that are happening, how can this be happening in a Christian nation, in a nation where the predominant view or the predominant ideology should be Christianity, and should be therefore the ethic or the ethos of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it's that we're not a Christian nation. In fact, I would argue that we're not. In fact, I would make the argument that we live in Babylon, because Babylon is the place where pleasure and anything you want, anything you desire, anything that you feel you can have and you can get at your fingertips. And isn't that where we're at today? If people want adultery, they can get it. They can go online. They can find it wherever. Whatever they want to do, it's there. Abortion, you can go right to Champaign and get one done for $410. Wickedness is everywhere, and it's absolutely available. And I think that we need to have this perspective shift as Christians, because just saying, well, we're a Christian nation, I think that we've duped ourselves into believing that somehow we are, and that we're the predominant class, and that we have a say, but we don't. We live in Babylon. We're like the folks in the latter chapters of Isaiah who are living as strangers in a strange land, and who are having to fight and resist the urge to live in Babylon and allow Babylon to live in them. And that's something that we, if we don't have that clarity of where we are, where we're ministering from, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. We're just going to get ourselves in trouble. You know, if we don't realize that we're living in Babylon, we'll be blind to see the ways that Babylon is beginning to influence us. And let me tell you what, it is. If you look around and you go, man, I can't believe the church is doing this. Well, yeah, you know, the church that lives in Babylon is going to be constantly pulled towards diluting the gospel, towards trying to subtly shift on issues that we shouldn't be able to shift on. And those are the kinds of things that happen. You know, we don't realize that we live in Babylon. It blinds us from seeing that our day-to-day environments, the places that we live, are saturated with Babylon's values. And more importantly, that those values, if we are not vigilant, will rub off on us, leading us the opposite direction of Christ. And so we have to be careful. We need that clarity so that we can keep looking at where we are through the lens of who Jesus Christ is. You know, and I love 1 Peter chapter 1, the first three verses. It says, to those who are elect exiles. By the way, isn't it amazing that even back then Peter said, listen, you're living in Babylon. You are God's chosen people, elect, but you are exiles. You're strangers in a strange land. And he says of the dispersion in Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. But then he says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, which means that this isn't shocking to God. God isn't going, oh my gosh, my people are in Babylon. God's going, no, I knew they'd be there. And then it says, in the sanctification of the Spirit, which means that this is going to be difficult, but it is forming us and molding us and making us, preparing us for heaven, making us more like Christ. And we know that. Why? Because the next part of the verse says, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling of his blood, which means the gospel, the message that Christ came and he lived and he died and he rose again for our salvation. And then I love how Peter ends the opening verses. He says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. And when Peter says it might be multiplied to you, he means then through you also, because nothing that is given to you is just for you in this sense. God loves you and he commands you to love others. God forgives you and commands you to forgive others. God shows you mercy and commands you to be merciful to others. God multiplies grace and peace to you and wants you to multiply that grace and peace outward. But that's awfully hard to do when you live in Babylon, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's awfully hard to do when you look at all the values around us. And so listen, we have to be vigilant. We have to understand that we live in Babylon because there is a battle raging over our worship. And it's intense. I feel it today. You know, the culture. You can't do this. You can't pray in public. You can't have your Bible here. You can't do this. There's a battle for us worshiping God. It makes me think of that we need to go back to the Old Testament. And this is interesting that we live in a time when there's largely a lot of people who would say, oh, we don't read the Old Testament. It's passé. We don't read the Old Testament. It's the old story. We only read the new story. And yet the Old Testament has all the examples of those who had to live in Babylon during difficult times. I think of Daniel and his friends in ancient Babylon, which gives us a great example. Daniel lived in Babylon, but he didn't let Babylon get in him. I love the story where the three guys, and they refused to bow down before the golden statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. And it's in the third chapter of Daniel. And it provides us one of the great lessons about God's power and our perspective as we live in the world. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are subjects of Babylon along with Daniel, but they're determined that they're only going to serve the living God. That's all they're going to do. What does Paul say when he goes? He says, I desire to know nothing amongst you but Christ and him crucified. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he hated these guys for this because he wanted their worship. And so he brought three charges against these men, that they paid no attention to the king and his commands, that he didn't serve the gods of Babylon, and that they refused to worship the golden statue which the king himself had erected. Now listen, culture gets mad at Christians, us Christians, for what? We don't obey the king's commands. We don't say killing babies is right. we don't serve the gods of Babylon, which means that we say, you know what, we're not going to do that, that, that. Every pleasure and desire is not profitable for us. Mm-hmm. And we refuse to worship the golden statue that the king erects. Mm-hmm. And what happens to Daniel and his friends? The penalty for defying the king is severe. They're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And what was fueling that? That was Nebuchadnezzar's pride, his love of power, and that he's in charge. And this is amazing. If we listen to Daniel chapter 3, 16 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer King Nebuchadnezzar, "Your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up, O king. But even if he doesn't, it wouldn't make a bit of difference, O king. We still wouldn't serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up." And this infuriates King Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah. And so he has, the Bible says, the furnace heated up seven times hotter. By the way, seven is a perfect number in the Bible, meaning this thing is perfectly blazing hot. It's going to fry these guys up. And what happens? They go willingly into the fire. Why? Because they trust God. They are unwavering, even though they are in Babylon, unwavering in following God. That's where their confidence is. And because Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel trusted God, the power of God was revealed to everyone who was there.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine how astonishing that was? That they go into the fire, and then you see these men, and they're in there, and they don't get burned up? In fact, Nebuchadnezzar cries out, "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of a fourth is like the Son of God." I love this verse so much. You know why, Mark?
Why?
Because the Hebrew number for four is Dalet, which also means door.
Hmm.
And the Bible teaches us in John chapter 10 that Jesus is the door. And so the fourth man who's in there is the door. Is the one, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only, those in Babylon come only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ came that they may have life and have it abundantly."
Hmm.
See, friends, we have to let God's values rub off on us and be in us,
yeah.
Not the values of Babylon. But if we look around and believe that somehow this is the Christian nation, we're duped into believing a whole lot of things and letting our guard down and allowing a whole lot of things to seep in. And what we're called to do is, in the midst of all the different kinds of kings that erect all the different kinds of statues that call us to be all kinds of different things, we have to be like the man in the Old Testament who said, "I only serve the living God," and yeah. That's it.
Amen. Yeah, that'll preach.
You think so? You think I got a shot at this?
I think that'll preach, and that kind of reminds me of some of the remarks from Tuesday night at the banquet and a message that I heard, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday, just again about Daniel's faithfulness, even to the point where the king's like, you know, wakes up early in the morning hoping that Daniel's God had rescued him. "Daniel, you're still down there," and, you know, because Daniel wasn't affected by the culture. He continued to pray, what, those three times in front of his window, so it was obvious to everyone, even though the edict or whatever was that you only worship the king, and Daniel wouldn't allow culture to overcome him. He put God first, foremost, and center in his life.
Yeah, and he was willing to bear the burden of what that meant to stand up and say that, whether it was for these friends to be thrown into the furnace, whether it was for Daniel to be thrown in for the lions, whatever it was, Daniel said, "I'm going to do what's right, and then I'm also going to pay the penalty, whatever Babylon's rule or law is here, for breaking that." You know, and that just reminds me of how the Bible says, "My treasure isn't here, my treasure is in heaven."
Hmm. Yeah, and I love the comments of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that even if God didn't rescue us in the way that we had hoped that he'd rescue us, you know, that everything would just work out, even if he doesn't, we still trust in him and will obey him, even unto death. And oh, that that would be true of all of us throughout our lives, that we would just no longer wrestle with that. God is for us. God is sovereign. God is good. His plan is good. His permissive will, the things that he allows to have happen, are only allowed to happen because he allows them to happen. And if we could just, I don't know, it's one of those maturity things. If we could just rest in that and recognize God is sovereign, God is good. He owns our lives. He can do with us as he wants. You know, it's the potter. He can make, you know, this valuable thing out of the clay, or, you know, something as simple to be used daily. God's in charge, and we can place our trust and our faith and our lives to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll preach too, I think.
That'll preach too.
just another great reminder that God is sovereign, God's in control, but how often we allow culture. I was telling you even before the broadcast, you know, all these little 2 and 4 minute YouTube video things that are kind of interesting, you know, famous car wrecks or plane crashes or something that, you know, it's like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And 6 or 8 minutes later, I'm like, gosh, I just burned 6 or 8 minutes that I needed to be reading this book or attending to this thing. And how easily culture can just creep in. And what is it when we get passive just because we kind of allow, we entertain ourselves to death, if you will?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be interesting if our reaction to all the things we see on TV, like the news and all that stuff, would be, you know what? Not I'm getting more angry, not I'm getting more frustrated, but our reaction would be, you know what? Based on what I see right here, I need to read my Bible more.
Yeah.
Based on what I see here, I need to pray more. Based on what I see here, I need to get out and share the good news more, because this news is telling me how broken the world is.
Right, right. That's going to preach, and that's actually a point of
application. Three sermons here.
Yeah, and an action plan, a point of action for all of us, application for our lives today, to be cognizant of, you know, maybe some of the things that we've referred to or referenced, or something that somebody on their way to work today is going to see. Maybe it's even before they leave their home and they look at their children and say, you know what, on the way to work, I'm going to pray for my family, for my wife, my spouse. I'm going to pray for my coworker that I don't get along with, my boss that has unreasonable demands on me today, those people that I'm going to play golf with, or the hobby or the interest, or, Lord, who might you have me invite out to lunch or to dinner tonight? You know, all those things that if we can be cognizant or mindful, Lord, you know, be at work because you live and abide in me. So where I go, you go. Help me be a blessing to others. And it seems like a winning proposition. All right, everyone, that's the assignment for today. The gauntlet's being dropped before you meet in church on Sunday with some good Bible-believing followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. See how God will work through you today as you pray it up and see him at work. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.